Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Riots, pandemic, government bailouts, political chaos, racism, false religion. Sounds like today, but this was the life for our first century brothers and sisters. I just described Rome. Earlier this week, based on the occurrences we had in D.C., I made this post and I want to share some of it with you. Yet during that time, the church blossomed and thousands of people found salvation and changed their world. You know what our early brothers and sisters did? Out of that chaos came notable societal changes. You know what the Christians did? Because at one point in time, when the Romans would have their babies, some of the women would take their babies, especially little girls, put them out in the wilderness for the animals. And the Christians would go and scoop them up and say, I'll raise you. Became orphanages. There was a point in time a pagan would go to a temple to worship their prospective gods and mutilate themselves and almost die. What did Christians do instead of standing off and turning up their noses? They built hospitals right there in the temple court. And if you ever travel to Rome, you will see the Roman Colosseum. And in the Colosseum, a man would kill another man for sport and people would cheer and laugh. And Christians said, you know what? We can't support this. And it ended the gladiatorial games. Let me talk to you about the church of the Bible. See, the church of the Bible has outlived the Greek Empire, has outlived the Roman Empire, has outlived Nazi Germany. And, you know, as long as I've been a disciple, we have said we want to be like the first century church. Well, brothers and sisters, I believe God has given us our opportunity to be like the first century church. Now, I don't want to make light of anyone's struggle. I know some of us are really struggling with frustration. Some of us are depressed. Some of us are struggling with anxiety. And we're like, this is emotional overload. 2020 within itself was very challenging. Now, here we are just a few days into the new year. And oh my gosh, how can we manage all this? And like I said, what we're going to do, I don't want to spend a lot of time today talking about it, but what we're going to do tomorrow evening is we are having basically a virtual town hall to debrief and talk about what happened in D.C. I'm very grateful for the AND campaign, and they will be joining us with some other friends of the Path and join us for this virtual meeting. Chase will put the flyer up to let you know that, hey, there's a healthy way to debrief, to discuss this, because we're going into the unknown. And, you know, that's the title of my sermon today, Into the Unknown. You know, our theme for 2021, never the same. And on many levels, as a nation, as a people, we will never be the same again. And that can be a disheartening thought for those who are not Christians, because we know if you're a Christian, we're always in constant transition. Things are always changing all around us. And the beauty of it is, as a Christian, we've realized this world's not our home. America is not the final stop. We're here. It's a great country, has its problems, has its flaws. It's our home, but this is not our eternal home. And today I want to share briefly a sermon that has helped me with my frame of reference. As I look at the news and as I hear about all the challenges and the disheartening, discouraging, oh, it's like more death, I'm able to have a frame of reference. What's your frame of reference? In Joshua chapter 3, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Achaia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving them instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, move out from there and follow them. Joshua told the people to follow the priest and the ark. So here we are. God's people have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They were at the bank of the River Jordan. It was time for them to cross over to go into the promised land. Finally, the promise that God had given Abraham years and years ago was coming true. And he said, they told the people, I want you to look at the priests and look at the ark. I want you to follow. My question is, who are we following? Who shapes our frame of reference? Who shapes our perspectives? Is it the news? Is it what we see on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC? Is it our phones? Is it the constant voices that we just hear all day long? People telling us what to think, what to believe, how to feel. And, you know, it's so easy for us as disciples that our frame of reference becomes shaped by the world instead of it being shaped by God. See, God takes care of his people. Israel made the mistake and they listened to people before they listened to God. In Numbers chapter 13, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this because it's a long story, but it's so crucial to what I'm talking about. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send out one leader from each ancestral tribe. Notice right there, the Lord said, Moses, send out men to explore the land that I am giving. Not go see if they can take the land, not go see if they like the land, not go see if they can bargain with the people. That God said, I already took care of it. I've already gone into the unknown. I've taken care of it. Now, all you got to do is just send them out and let them explore. So you know what? Those men went out. And when you look through it, you see all the leaders who were listed. Moses gave these men instruction as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak or few or many. He said, you know, see what kind of land they live in. Is it good? Is it bad? Do their towns have walls? Or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the south, is the soil fertile or is it poor? Just check it out. Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back a sample of some of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went out and explored the land and talks about all the different places they went. And they saw some descendants of Anak and they saw some giants. But then they got to the Valley of Eshkol. And they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to bring it back to the people. They also brought back samples of pomegranates and figs. And you know what? They realized the land is amazing. Now, there's some challenges there, but there were so many incredible gifts waiting. So you would think once they got back to Moses and they got back to the people that they would encourage everybody. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the hills, wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. We brought some produce back for you to look at. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw the giants that are descendants of Anak. The Amalekites lived there in the Negev, and they named all the other people. And they say, we can't go into the land. We can't do it. And because of a handful of people's bad attitudes, the whole nation started to grumble and complain. And because of that rebellious spirit, a 40-day trip turned into 40 years. They literally wandered in the desert for 40 years. What shapes your frame of reference? Do we listen to God more than we listen to people? Or we're so enamored by people that even when God says, go, I got this. I got this all under wraps. You know what, brothers and sisters? God is already gone into 2021 and 2022 and 2023. God goes ahead of us. But what shapes our frame of reference? What's your greatest fear? We're living in an era, and you know, it's unlike any era before of anyone who's ever lived. I was speaking with a friend of mine, our brother Greg Preston. You know, they were in the neighborhood, and I spoke to his mother. His mother just celebrated 93 years. I'm like, happy birthday, Sister Press, 93 years. I say, so that means that you were born in about 1928. I said, okay, Miss Press, growing up, did you all ever talk about the Spanish flu that happened in 1918? So 10 years before you were born, there was this Spanish flu that killed millions of people all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people in America. What did you hear about it growing up? She said, nothing. I said, what? We never talked about it. Brothers and sisters, what's so important to us right now at this moment with what consumes us and occupies our time in future generations? It may be a paragraph in a history book. What am I saying? What is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? Have you taken time out to wrestle that out in your heart? You know what? Joshua told the people, in verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Joshua said, you've never gone into the promised land. Now that the heart is right and you're finally ready to go into the promised land, the priest and the ark will guide you. For us today, we don't have priests and arks. We have Jesus himself. You know what Jesus said? In John chapter 16, in verse 32 through 33, a time is coming, in fact has come, when you will all be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. We follow a savior who tells us up front, there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some hardships. Now, like the average American Christian, we've had it good. I mean, we've had air conditioned buildings. We get to worship in peace. I mean, life has been good. I mean, what have we really had to complain about? This is probably the first time that life has been unpredictable. Now we got to live out what we've been telling non-believers for years. Trust Jesus. It's been on our t-shirts. It's been on our bumper stickers. It's been on our banners. But now as Christians, we get to live it out. And like I said, this is tough. This is a challenge. But what we have to do, we got to take some time this week and we got to ask ourselves, what is my greatest fear? What is it I'm afraid of? What is it I'm concerned about? What is it I think that God will not come through for me? And once you wrestle through what your greatest fear is it death? Is it financial challenges? Is it family not doing well? What is it? But once you figure out what that fear is, got to lay it on the altar. Got to lay it on the altar. For some of us, it's just maybe the fact we don't like being uncomfortable. I can't say I have a lot of fear. I just don't like being inconvenienced. But I'm learning more and more, and every day I have to remind myself the universe was not created for me and my comfort. Because once I embrace that, then I'm able to have the right focus. My last question is, where's your focus? When you get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? What occupies your time? What occupies your resources? What occupies your energy? Where's your focus? Especially those of us who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, I've been doing this a while and I have a reputation of simplicity. And I'm going to basically end this sermon like I have said in so many sermons throughout the years. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Yep, there's Patterson again, talking about evangelism. Bro, we're hurting. Bro, we're struggling. Bro, it's uncertain. Come on, man. Come on, why is that church always on my helping people? Because Jesus said when we focus on him, he will be with us. That's the promise from the Great Commission. Go make disciples. And guess what? When you're doing what I want you to do, he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As we go into the unknown of 2021, we're not going alone. Jesus says, if you are doing what I'm asking you to do, I will be with you. Wow. Something to think about.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.